There's been a long-standing debate about whether municipalities in Canada should fluoridate their drinking water or not. Last year, Prince George stopped fluoridating its tap water following a referendum held during the election in 2014. Calgary stopped fluoridating in 2011. And when that happened, health researchers decided to chart the incidence of cavities among young kids. And what they discovered in a new study released yesterday is that tooth decay actually rose, a clear case of cause and effect, they concluded. Lindsay McLaren led the study. She's a researcher with the University of Calgary's Cummings School of Medicine, and she joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, tell me, first of all, what you wanted to find out and how you went about doing the study.
Right. So in early 2011, the city of Calgary stopped fluoridating its drinking water. And so we basically built a study around that. When we looked into the research literature, we found that there's actually quite very little in the way of research on what happens to children's dental decay when fluoridation is stopped. So that seemed to present an excellent opportunity to contribute to that knowledge base. So the way we went about answering that question was to collect data from a large sample of school children in Calgary, where fluoridation had stopped, as well as in Edmonton, where fluoridation remains in place. And we had available to us very similar data from 2004 and 5, when both cities had fluoridation in place.
And what did you find out?
What we observed was that dental cavities, especially in primary teeth, actually got worse in both cities, but to a greater extent in Calgary, where fluoridation was stopped.
And was this at all surprising?
It was a little bit surprising. When we looked into the research available, we started to realize that that much of it was older. So, for example, a systematic review that was published last year identified that over 70% of the studies they included were actually published prior to 1970. So it seemed a bit of an open question, what happens to children's tooth decay when fluoridation is stopped today, in our case in Alberta.
Now, I want to be clear. Edmonton kept fluoride in their water, but they also saw a rise in the number of cavities. So is it possible, or how can you be confident there's not some other factor that's causing a rise in cavities, and you're just seeing a little bit more of it in Calgary?
Right. So that's a great question. I think there's actually two questions in there. So in terms of how can we be sure that this was because of stopping fluoridation, we basically designed the study so we could be as sure as possible. So we considered a number of other possible explanations for the difference that we observed, and everything seemed to point quite consistently to stopping fluoridation being the main factor. Now, in terms of why we saw an increase or a worsening in both cities, that was an interesting finding, and I think it just confirms that there are a number of factors that influence oral health. Certainly, community water fluoridation is only one. And so the factors that are driving an increase in both cities, we don't know definitively, but it's likely a combination of factors, perhaps diet, socioeconomic circumstances, access to dental care, and so on.
Well, and I did want to ask about that, because many of the people who argue against fluoride being put into water point out that there's other ways of getting it. It's in a lot of toothpastes. Here in Northern BC, the Northern Health Authority provides some free fluoride access for children under 6. There's things like diet and stuff like that. So I'm wondering, especially since you're seeing the rise in Edmonton, is this really an argument necessarily for keeping fluoride in tap water, or is it just an argument that people need to do a better job of taking care of their teeth and their children's teeth?
Right. So the results of our study, as well as others, I think support the conclusion that the benefits of community water fluoridation are above and beyond the benefits of those other sources of fluoridation. So certainly there are other ways to receive access to fluoride, but it's important to consider issues of access and reach of those other modes of fluoride delivery. So a good example is fluoride treatment at the dentist's office. So that's a very effective way of delivering fluoride, but not everybody has access to those dental health services.
And I wanted to be clear on what the health effects or the health risks are that you're seeing associated with these cavities, because you're saying that it's mostly affecting baby teeth. Baby teeth fall out. So is there a long-term aspect to this?
Right. So we did also look at adult teeth. and we found a similar effect, but it was much smaller and not statistically significant. And so we described that as an early indication of a negative effect for adult teeth as well. Now, just because baby teeth fall out doesn't mean that that they're not important. So tooth decay involves bacteria, which can lead to infection and which can spread downwards towards the adult teeth laying beneath. So it's not it's not a situation where the problem is gone or it's not important just because it's baby teeth.
Now, as you well know, being in Calgary, that this can be a very heated debate about whether or not to fluoridate the city's water. And here in Prince George, on the side for people who were saying that the water should be fluoridated, there were doctors, there were dentists, there were public health officials coming out and saying that there are these clear benefits of fluoride and citing studies, and yet still people voted to remove it out of whether it was fear or just they felt that it should be a personal choice. So I'm curious if you think that having this new information will actually change that debate at all when the people who are against it already had access to other studies and other information that fluoride could be beneficial according to these sorts of studies.
Right. So, in our local context, there was a clear demand for locally relevant, up-to-date information. I believe it will play a role in the deliberations. What role it will play, I think, remains to be seen. I'm absolutely aware that there are a number of factors that go into decision making, and in that regard. I think my job as the researcher is perhaps a bit easier than those of the city councillors, because we just set out to ask a question and answer it that speaks to one aspect of the debate. But the decision making, of course, involves consideration of all of these factors. So the evidence on the benefits, evidence on the risks or harms, and just simply what the constituents want.
And I wonder if you would also recommend follow-up studies if you're going to be doing more in Calgary, and if you would say to researchers in Prince George that they should start measuring these factors as well.
Well, as a researcher, I certainly would support that. We're very much hoping to do another wave of data collection in Calgary and Edmonton to follow up these effects in the longer term. I think it would be a great idea if other communities took advantage of cessation to do research as well. And we're actually in the process of trying to publish our study methods and materials so that it's easier for other researchers to do that if they wish to.
And I'm curious, based on what you know now, how confident would you be that if Prince George were to undertake this research, that 4 years from now, 5 years from now, you'll see a similar spike in tooth decay among children?
Well, I would need to know more about the population and circumstances in Prince George. So, for example, the demographic attributes of the population, as well as what types of dental services are in place. So I think you mentioned programs for kids, because I think those factors are actually really important. So, for example, studies in other parts of the world, such as Cuba, when they stopped community water fluoridation, a worsening of tooth decay was not observed. In fact, oral health got better, but that was very likely because they have very strong universal dental programming in place, whereby all children had access to free dental care. So it's not. I don't think it's a uniform answer to the question, does cessation lead to increasing tooth decay? It depends on time and place.
So another alternative could be somehow bringing in universal dental care to these cities.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Lindsay McLaren, very interesting stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you, you're welcome.
And Lindsay McLaren is a professor in the Department of Health Sciences at the University of Calgary.